My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
And Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
So you know what I'm hearing from you a lot today? And 888-957-9570. We'd love to hear from a lot of you right now. I came out of last night thinking the Giants have a self-confidence problem. I hear from so many fans that have confidence problems in the Giants. I came away from that one going, oh, they've got a self-confidence problem. They've got problems with confidence in themselves, because why else would the top of your order be coming to the plate? You got a runner over at second with nobody out in that ridiculous extra innings rule, which is only fun if it works for you. Because when it doesn't work for you, you hate the rule.
It's the worst rule ever.
It is. I drove home last night thinking to myself, that's the worst rule ever. And then I checked myself. I'm like, you're only mad because they've lost two nights in a row. If they were the ones that got squirty ground balls and little bloopers over the shortstop's head and won the game, you'd be thrilled.
I didn't like it on the Blake Snell Sale game because second base was so damn hard to get
yes.
through. It was hallowed ground. Well, if you get to second against those two pitchers having a great night, and then all of a sudden, after those guys did their thing, you just throw somebody out there.
Now you get totally
180 feet free.
Let's spend a minute on that or two.
Okay.
Because it's happened two nights in a row and I wonder if people are thinking about it. I do think that. I think that you're only annoyed with it when it doesn't go for you. When it does go for you, you love it and it's exciting. But this is largely a player created rule that popped out of COVID, and I get it. I understand not wanting to burn bullpens, and I understand not wanting to stay till 1 a.m. There's a piece of me that misses it, though. Like that, you know, Yusmeiro Petit in Washington, the Brandon Belt home run, it never happens. That would never, these are some, I know they're long, and maybe today society is bored by them, but I never hated the 15-inning game. I don't hate it. That's memorable to me.
But when you do it every day and you're part of the everyday fabric, whether you're a player, a coach, or a broadcaster,
but would it happen every day?
Oh man, those games are tough. So I kind of contradict myself, and I like the old school. Why don't you do it in the 12th inning? So you got the 10th and the 11th.
I agree with you.
And then the 12th, we're all getting tired. It's time to go home. Let's put a runner on second.
Okay.
Or load the bases, for God's sake. I don't even care.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
So now it's like a 2-2 game is 8-7. I don't care. Like, but just have the 10th and 11th as the old days. And
I like that
if
idea.
If it gets to the 12th and we're just, hey, the kids got to get up.
Right.
We got day game tomorrow.
We don't need to be
the
here.
Broadcasters are starting to slur their words. It's time to go home.
Dude.
So the 12th inning, I would change and then have that. I used to joke on the Nats broadcast that, like, if I were the commissioner, I would limit the throwovers to first because everybody boos the throwover.
Yes.
They hate it, and this is what makes the games go too long, and then they did it.
And then they did it. I did a whole show on that back in the day after one of the Giants games. And Kipe even, I was honored because Kipe, like, Sometimes they would do this. They would admit, like, whatever you, I'm sure you experienced this. You say something after the game, then they come back the next day and they reference it.
Yeah.
So Kipe comes back the next day. He's like, I heard Willard last night. And he was cracking me up with this, like, you got to stop throwing the ball over the, like, we're dying over here. What the hell? When was the last time that right-handed pitcher faked to third and then went back to first, caught him napping? It never. 1968, maybe they got someone. It's like, what are y'all doing? So that I get. But I do, like, I don't know, man. You get caught between the romance of the 15-inning game and the boredom of it. I understand that. So I kind of like your idea. I remember one game, Rockies were in town, and I needed to I was planning to drive to L.A. the next morning. And I'm a first thing in the morning driver guy when you got to get somewhere. Let's get up at 5 and let's go. Beat traffic. We're not doing this. Have a day still left when you get there. So I'm like, I'm going to get up at, like, you know.
I think my
daughter had it. This is before they had moved up. My daughter had a soccer game, and I'm like, I'm going to be there. Soccer game is at like 10 a.m. Poop, we're going to get up. Game goes like 16 innings. And then you got to do a show. So, like, I did the show, and we didn't get off the air till after 2 in the morning.
You just went right then.
I did.
Yeah.
I did. Ran home, grab a bag, let's go.
Never
went to sleep. Drove straight to the soccer game. And so I get it. That's a little tough on everybody. We don't need to be there till 2:30 in the morning. What the hell are we doing? So I like your idea. I think it's a good idea. Because it is frustrating. I get that it's only one direction, so this is a little unfair. But it's frustrating when your team's struggling to score runs. You scratch one out in the eighth. You send it to extras. And then a reliever comes in, and somebody jams a bouncer to the right side of the infield, and it flicks off of a second baseman's glove. Ball game, 4-3. What the hell?
I mean,
you've jammed.
The guy's trying to move the runner, though.
Granted,
as a second baseman, I got to be over there.
Yes, you do. But I
know what he's trying to do at the plate. So if I'm playing second, I don't care what the card says in my back pocket. I know the right-handed hitter's trying to go the other way. So if I'm playing second and I am a baseball player and I'm paying attention to the time of the game and the situation of the game, regardless of what the credit card in my back pocket tells me to stand, I take a couple steps toward first base because I know the right-handed hitter is trying to move the runner.
I'm with you, but they don't deserve a run for that.
But it's not Casey Schmidt's fault because it's just the way the game is now. You stand where the card says to stand. I should never get beat to my left as a second baseman, which I played a lot of, maybe the most. I should never get beat in that 4.5 hole with a runner on second, nobody out. Beat me up the middle, but you're not beating me there. Because he's trying to move the runner. He's trying to get inside the ball. He's trying to fist one to second base.
Totally get it.
Never. I mean, up the middle, okay. Granted. But anyways.
Yeah.
There's so many layers to all of this that I could get really deep in the weeds with.
No, I agree with you, and it's not sour grapes, because like I said, you only hate the rule when it works against you. But there have been plenty of times where I felt that way even about the Giants. You know, it's like, wait a minute. Well, like, even when they beat the Tigers, was it Saturday night they went into extras, or was it the bottom of the ninth? When Kana hit the walk-off sack fly.
Was that bottom of the ninth.
That was bottom of the ninth. Okay, yeah. So never mind on that one. But there are a lot of games where it's like, okay, there's a runner at second, and then you squirt a ground ball or whatever, like, and you just jam one out over here, and then the ball game's over.
But Braves played the game the right way, though. They moved the runner. They're getting the ball the right side.
I understand.
Somebody on the YouTube line saying, how do you hold the runner at second then if you're the second baseman? With runner on second, nobody out, the shortstop's got to keep the runner close.
Yeah.
Because you're assuming the left-hander's pulling you or the right-hander's going the other way, and that's just something you know. Unless the card in your back pocket tells
you. Why does the card in your back pocket say stand over there when you need to be over there?
But the card doesn't know situations.
Well, then it's a bad card.
Baseball players know situations.
It's a bad card
if
it doesn't know situations.
But if you're groomed your whole life to look at the card since your travel days in the minor leagues and look at the card and stand where the card is, you stand where the card is, you don't get in trouble. But if you're actually a baseball player and you have a feel for the game and you've played the game of baseball, you know with the situation, the guy's trying to move the runner, so you cheat a step over.
Can you help everybody with what the card is? Are you telling me that a card says when X player is at the plate, this specific player, you stand here.
Yes.
And it doesn't allow,
it doesn't say top of the 10th, runner on second, nobody out, you should stand here.
It doesn't allow for there's a runner on.
I think it does with certain players. Brandon Crawford could stand wherever he wanted because he's been in the league a while and new players. But if you're a rookie and you're not where the card stands and the ball goes to where you're supposed to go, but that's just, it's called the feel for the game in the time of the game and what's going on in the game just doesn't exist anymore. And it's not the kid's fault. They just haven't been allowed to have a feel for the game at any level.
So I come out of last night going, Giants have a confidence problem because you're down 4-3, runner at second, no one out, top of the order coming up. The only guy he's been hitting home runs at Bonds and Mays level pace last handful of weeks, and you haven't bunt. You haven't bunt, which tells me that you've whittled this down to hoping that Lamont Wade can hit a sack fly, and even if you're right, you still only tie the game and send it to the very next inning. That, to me, screams confidence problem. But do you know what I hear from you today? I hear from you that the Giants have changed their stripes at least four or five times this year as far as an organizational philosophy. And that's terrifying to me.
Well, you signed some power guys in the offseason, then you traded one at the trade deadline. Tom Murphy, they signed him not for his catching abilities because he's got some pop and he can run into some. Then you signed Matt Chapman, who's a power hitter. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the season, you're asking your players to play situational baseball because you're in the heat of a wild card race against good teams. These are things that have to be organizational philosophies throughout the minor league system. So when players get to the big leagues, they already know situational hitting. It's stressed every day. A group of hitters. We were in St. Louis. Pat Burrell was throwing batting practice during the day, and he did situational with the guys, and they were laughing and having a great time. Runner on second, nobody out. And guys would hit a base hit to right, and they'd cheer. Runner on third, less than two outs, infield in. They hit a fly ball, and they had fun with it. And there's a way to get points across with having fun with it, but you can't just do it once in a while. It has to be something that's done every single day, and it has to be ingrained in you as a hitter that this is how the game is played. And this is not an organizational thing. This is a Major League Baseball thing now. Guys get paid for hitting the ball over the fence. Guys get paid for OPS. Guys get paid for driving in runs. Guys don't get paid for defense. Guys don't get paid for moving runners over. Guys don't get paid for being good base runners. Scott Boras can't go to a meeting with a general manager and say, like, my guy's a really good base runner. He scored four more runs than everybody else because he read balls in the dirt, knew where the outfield was playing. These are things you don't get paid for or rewarded for. But the reward is, if you're a winning baseball player, you play on a winning team and you get a full share and a ring and a parade. But if it's not emphasized, because that's just the way baseball is going now, swing as hard as you can, throw it as hard as you can, and the little details, the intricacies of the game that separates baseball players from guy, I hit ball far, I throw ball hard, I swing bat very hard. That's kind of what the game has evolved into. So when you see a Matt Chapman, who's a baseball player, or a Mookie Betts we're looking at right now on the screen, who's a baseball player, and they know how to take an extra base, and they know when to take a chance, and they know when to hit the brakes, and they know when to lay down a bunt, and they know when to swing away, and they know how to move a runner because they're playing the game. Guys come back to the dugout. You hit an 18 hopper to second. You get the runner over from second to third with nobody out. You'll hear on the bench, way to play the game, man. Play the game, baby. Play the game. It's called playing the game. And I don't think that for the most part in major leagues right now, you play the game. It's just bash the guy's head in, throw it past the guy as hard as you can, and hope you have more runs at the end.
Unless you want to suddenly change your mind. I mean, that's kind of what I hear now. Check this out. Farhan Zaidi, what date was this? When was this said? Right after the trade deadline, Grandy? Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Trade deadline, I think.
Day of. So you were here.
Yep.
You were here with Dibs and Grandy. And you guys are doing the trade deadline. I was at a pool. But here comes Farhan. And as you listen to this, realize that the Giants, just earlier today, have sent Marco Luciano back down to the minors. I'm not fighting that.
Got
to
run a ball out.
You got to run a ball out. He stopped twice and got thrown out in a one-run game. I know some of you were like, this is a line drive. You couldn't tell. But so that's, if you couldn't tell, you run.
Or if you stop and then see it on the ground, you put your head down and
run.
Get it.
Run harder. So the Giants are sending him a message, in addition to the fact that he is still looks lost at the plate. But listen to this on the trade deadline from Farhan Zaidi.
I know you get to this time of year, and frankly, whenever you're a little bit on the competing bubble like we are, we're, you know, three games out in the wild card race, there's a notion of, you know, let's sell and let's enhance the farm system. But, you know, you can have all the prospects you want. It's not going to matter until you actually create opportunities for them, right? So you can go out and get a bunch of guys, but if you're not willing to do some of the things we did over the last couple of days to create opportunities for those guys, it's just not going to have a chance to impact your major league team. So, you know, really to answer your question, I would say, I think what fans want to see, I think what we can hang our hat on as an organization is the progress of young players coming up and impacting us. And I named three guys, and that's not including, you know, guys like Eric Miller and Brett Wisely that were acquired into this organization, but are young players who have a chance to be here for a long time. So the more of that, you know, the more we have guys coming up, establishing themselves, you know, like a Pat Bailey did last year, I think that's where the progress is coming from.
Now, Farhan also said in the days right after the trade deadline that the Jorge Soler deal was largely to create at-bats at the big league level for Marco Luciano. 22 at-bats later, he has been sent down. Again, I'm not arguing it because that message, I agree with you, FP, needed to be sent. However, what I'm hearing from you, and the more I think about it, I don't know how many times this year the Giants have been like, this is what we're doing. And then like 8 days later, they're like, all right, scrap that. Now this is what we're doing. And then that doesn't work. And then we rinse and repeat and over and over and over again. They keep changing what they're doing when it doesn't work for 2 seconds.
Can I ask, I'm going to make you say it, so I'm going to ask you.
Let's go.
What does that tell you?
It tells you that they don't have a philosophy. At least not one that they're willing to stick to. And I actually think that that was the definition of this regime before. It was a philosophy a lot of people didn't like, but at least they had one. I think now it tells me that somebody has abandoned philosophy in an effort to save a job. And now we're just going to do whatever the hell feels right in that moment to sort of placate what everybody's saying and what they're seeing. We're about the young guys. No, we're not. We're about power. No, we're not. We're about speed. No, we're not. We're about pitching and defense. No, we're not. We're just... Yeah. We're not stuck to anything.
I'm trying to figure out a way to say this, but I'm just going to say it. Great leadership is firm in their beliefs.
Correct. I find that to be the hardest thing about parenting.
What did Brian Sabian do?
He traded the same damn thing.
He traded prospects for veterans. He got good pitching, had good defense, and they won three World Series. Yeah. And he did the same thing every year.
And be willing to make a mistake.
So I'm not comparing that. I'm just saying, like, so if you're going to give at-bats, maybe you give those at-bats. And those, when Farhan says opportunity, every time you step foot on a major league field, it's an opportunity. Whether it's one at-bat and a pinch hit roll in a 15-0 game, or it's a spot start every 10 days, it's an opportunity. So Marco Luciano was given an opportunity, and he didn't take advantage of it. Whether it was because he didn't run a ball out or because his at-bats were overwhelmed, he was DHing, apparently loving the DHing, and had to like be told to go out and practice some ground balls at shortstop every now and then.
For real?
Yes.
Come on, man.
Like, these are things that Farhan is right. He gave Marco Luciano. I don't understand the infatuation with this kid. Like, and maybe I'm spoiled because I've been around a Bryce Harper and a Juan Soto, and when those guys got their day when they were 19 years old, I saw them take advantage of opportunity. But I just like, I tweeted the other day about running to first. You always have to run hard, period. And I got all these responses. Get off the kid. He plays hard. He runs to first hard every time. I don't care if he runs hard to first 99 times out of 100. The one time he didn't, because, oh, we thought he caught it. Fine. We all stop when we think a line drive is caught. But then when we see the ball on the ground, we all put our head down and bust our ass to first. He jogged after that. And he was thrown out by half a step. Because you had to get the rolling ball, get up, make a throw across the infield. That all takes time. And in a game where first base was precious, against two stud lefties. I mean, that's a recipe to get sent down.
By the way, I know exactly.
But I don't understand. I'm not seeing it with this kid. I'm not getting on him. He's a wonderful human being. If you see him in the dugout, he's a sweetheart. But like, I'm not seeing the giant fandom infatuation with this guy. Oh, he can hit it a ton. I haven't seen it.
I think it's over.
I just haven't seen it.
I think it's over.
And I know what I'm looking for, and I just haven't seen that. But that's not a knock on the kid. And please don't put that on Twitter and quote me on that old thing. But I'm just saying, like, if you get your day in the sun, you got to shine. And I know Giants fans have heard about this kid forever. But, like, when you get here, you got to have that eye of the tiger.
Yeah, man. He's going to go back.
Screw you. I'm going to find a way to beat you. And this is my job, and you're not taking it from me. And what Brock Purdy did when he stepped on the field for the first time, it's like I'm playing for my very professional life with a sense of urgency and a sense of passion and a sense of desire to win. And you have that it thing that Madison Bumgarner had his first game, that Buster Posey had his first game, that Tim Lincecum had his first game, that, like, I'm not going back to the minor leagues. You can kiss my ass. And when I signed my first contract with Bill Stoneman, the president of the Montreal Expos, in the back room of the clubhouse, he said, if you go back to AAA, this is what you make. I said, I ain't going back to AAA. And I stayed for 7 years. So you get your foot in the door, and you have to have that mentality that, I'm not going back to the minor leagues. I'm going to be a part of this, and I'm going to help this team win. And so when you're timid and you're kind of looking around, and I don't care how old you are, because I've seen 19-year-olds do it, seen two 19-year-olds do it, Bryce Harper and Juan Soto, and they're two of the best players in baseball right now. But when they got their day, they let it rip, man. I was born to do this. I ain't going back. I'm about to be a superstar.
And you know who you just described?
Who?
The actual Giants' future shortstop. His name's Tyler Fitzgerald. His name's not Marco Luciano.
No, because he was timid at first, too. Well, he was tiptoeing around. He got picked off by Blake Treinen, and he was walking around like, I don't know if I'm good enough. And then all of a sudden, something clicked, and now he's playing like he's standing taller. He's walking through the door as the tallest guy in the room. But when he first got called up, he was tiptoeing around,
man. That doesn't mean that they're not going to make some mistakes. My point is he's made good on his opportunities, because I even look back. Sure, he got picked off, whatever. You see him a lot more than I do around the clubhouse. Maybe he looked timid to you. I can go back to texts from early in this season from friends when he would get in the game, and they're like, we need to see more of that guy.
Yeah.
He runs like a gazelle, and things happen when he's on the field. You could see that early on. But he didn't have a position. There was no spot, and so he was up and down a little bit.
Something happened in one of those trips, Mark, where he just said, I'm not going back.
Okay, great. Great.
And he ain't.
And I think he has a big hand in why people are starting to forget and not care. I'm sorry to say it so bluntly, but forget and not care about Marco Luciano. He was supposed to be the future shortstop. Not anymore. He's not.
I don't know if he's a future left fielder, because I'm not seeing the strike zone awareness, the aggressive nature, and the eye of the tiger that I need to see from a young kid.
Agreed.
At the plate and on the bases. So there's a lot of layers to this. It's not just what position does he play. Oh, stick him out in left field. I haven't seen the bat thing that everyone's talking about.
I see it. It happens in Sacramento.
He's right. Young. Maybe he'll get it.
Maybe, but he's threatening right now to be a 4A player, as it turns out.
He's still got time.
Yeah, he's got plenty of time.
But the things I'm talking about, I don't know if they're either in there or they're not in there. I can't teach some of these things I'm talking about. You either have that, or you don't have that, and I don't know enough about him to know if he has that or not.
Like, hasn't Tyler Fitzgerald already done enough to where he is the opening day shortstop next year?
I think he's got a month of big games to play.
Really?
Yeah.
This is some pretty special stuff for you.
This is why these games are so important coming up. Like, it's easier to evaluate guys in games that matter late in the season than just throwing the you're out of the race games in September. Those are akin to spring training. Like, it's hard to evaluate a young player in the month of September when you're out of pennant race. It's hard to evaluate a player in Scottsdale.
When the Giants fell down 3-1 last night, that felt like a hell of a gut punch, because they had cut it to 2-1, and then Harrison went out, gave up a big tank. Suddenly it was 3-1 again, and you're like, God, the way they're scoring runs. Shoot, the very next Giant at bat was Tyler Fitzgerald, and he put the ball over the fence in one of the deepest parts of the ballpark. Like, that is the evaluation that we're getting of Tyler Fitzgerald in big games. He is performing. I get that he's still very young and this is still very, very early. But to me, right now, he's done enough to warrant a very lengthy look as the future shortstop of this team that very likely bleeds into next year.
I would go out and get an A-list shortstop and put Tyler Fitzgerald at second.
That's fine. I don't care where you put him, but like he's in the lineup.
Yeah.
He's in the lineup to start next year.
And if he ever learns to put the ball in play and he gets better bat-to-ball skills with two strikes, he'll hit 300 in sleep and he might win a batting title with his speed.
Yeah.
I don't expect him to hit 20 home runs every year, though. I just think he's just in the zone right now. Maybe he's Trey Turner. I'm not sure.
Even in the minors, he's always been a 20-something home run a year guy.
Oh, man, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
I'd make him Jeff Kent light at second base and have way better range than Jeff ever had.
Great.
And then go out and get somebody just a stud at shortstop and have those two be my middle infielders for 5 years.
What can you already tell me about next year's lineup, for example? Like right now, I would argue what? It's probably Bailey, Fitzgerald,
Chapman.
Ramos. Well, Chapman might opt out.
Yeah, they're talking about a deal right now.
Well, good for them. But
he's staying. He ain't going nowhere.
So are the Niners and Brandon Ayuk. So
Pete Alonso at first, Fitzgerald at second, Chapman at third.
But for real,
I don't know.
Like, what can you tell me? Fitzgerald's in the lineup, Ramos is in the lineup, Bailey's in the lineup, and Jung Hoo Lee is in the lineup. Anybody else?
I miss Jung Hoo.
He's
a baseball player.
Yes.
100%.
I can't wait to see that guy play. But what else do we know? Yaz or Wade? Is that for sure?
Oh.
No. Those four players, right? Those are the four that right now I'm confident are in the opening day lineup next year. They're all super young. So that's great.
Did you say Ramos?
Ramos, Bailey, Jung Hoo Lee, Fitzgerald.
And yeah.
I can't use ink with any other name. Not Wade, not Yaz. Conforto's gone. I can't say anything about Chapman yet. You know, I know Logan Webb is going to be one of their starting pitchers. I would assume Harrison and Birdsong are too.
Yeah.
I don't know much else.
Hey, I know the point you're trying to make. I'm worried about tonight.
sure. No, so am I.
You're making good points.
So am I.
You're like, who are the guys you want to keep?
The shine on Luciano is gone. I'm not saying it can't come back, but it's gone. It's gone. Like, I'm sitting here. Use me as example A. I have been following this guy in the minor leagues on a weekly basis for 4 years. 4 years. So excited. I did segments about this guy 4 to 5 years ago. I did radio segments about this guy. And he has finally gotten up to the big leagues. And I am sitting here telling you, I have lost any excitement that I had.
I was never on that thing, though.
That's fine.
I'm not going to say I'm jumping off that wagon because I never saw it.
But
I watched him take 3 ground balls 2 years ago in spring training. I'm like, he's not a shortstop.
Yeah, see, I don't see that stuff. Like, all we get is I get social media videos where I'm like, whoa, that bat sounds different than other bats. That sounds different. He's got that kind of pop. And we're told he's the number 6 prospect in all of baseball.
You guys all need to get to the games more. You do a good job.
I go to as many as I can. This time slot makes it.
Can we have a 95-7 day at the ballpark and get you all out there?
No, but you're talking spring training. I'm not like, I can't, even if I could get out there more, I can't get there at 3 o'clock and start talking to people and watching what angle their glove is at when they're out over there. You know what I mean?
Do the show at Hotel Villa Rooftop. Just walk across the street.
Set it up.
I will.
You're the one with the relationships to do it.
I'll tell Jerry to get you on the roof.
You're the one that walks over there and the elevator just opens before you even touch a button.
It does. I'm a season ticket holder.
They had good drinks over there.
Yeah, season ticket,
good.
Bus stop,
we had a good time.
Left door, and Hotel Villa Rooftop, season ticket holder.
So anyway, all I'm getting at, and it's really a bummer. And yes, he can shine it right back up. But I've lost all Marco Luciano excitement. 100% of it is gone.
I never had it, so I don't,
there you go.
I never had it. And not that I have anything against the kid. I would love for him to come up and be the guy and prove us all wrong.
Totally.
And be like, yeah, you guys gave up on me. But he just doesn't seem like he has that edge to be like, screw you, you all gave up on me, watch this. I just haven't seen that. And that's kind of That's kind of the missing thing for me. It's not that he struggles at ground balls and it looks like a wrestling match sometimes, or that, you know, he runs the bases timidly. Felipe Alou always used to say, like, you have to be fearless. If you're scared at the highest level, the game will eat you up. Now, I don't know if Marco Luciano is scared, because I can't assume that, but he doesn't play a fearless brand of baseball. Like, Felipe used to love the fearless player. He used to talk about the fearless player, because that's how Felipe played the game. He was fearless. Take the extra base. His helmet comes off. Break up a double play. You know, beat out a ground ball in the infield. Swing as hard as you can in 2-0, 3-1 counts. He used to talk about all this stuff. And he ingrained that into all of us, to be fearless when we walked on the field. Because if you show any sign of fear, any sign that you're not the most confident guy on the field, at the highest level, man, it's baseball Darwinism. It'll eat you alive. They'll eat you alive.
Totally.
And then if we can see that, and we've seen that with some players this year, you go back and you try to figure it out.
I mean, what you just said, microcosm of it is even look at the way he handles a ground ball. He doesn't go get it. He lets it eat him up. He lets it come to him.
He's not fearless.
He doesn't go get first base.
He's not. Matt Chapman is fearless.
Oh, my God.
He's fearless.
I've never seen a third baseman charge balls and do what he does in my life.
Robbie Ray is fearless.
Well, he better be tonight, because tonight's a must win.
Tyler Fitzgerald is getting there.
He will be fearless. It is August 14th. They've got a game they absolutely have to have, and they're sticking a kid out in center field who's never played big league ball before. That's just funny.
Well, he's going to catch it. Apparently, he can really run him down.
Yeah, he's supposed to be a defensive stud. Grant McCray is up. Let's see him.
I mean, he's got good bloodlines.
Yeah, let's take a look.
The McCrays. His dad is Rodney or Scooter? I got to look this up.
I don't know. But yeah, let's see it. That'll be good. But right now, I just...
Rodney.
It's almost like...
He ran through the fence. His dad ran through a fence.
Oh, that was him?
Yes.
I remember that play.
Yes.
The one in the minor leagues.
His son is going to run through the...
That's his son?
Third archway tonight into McCovey Cove.
I didn't know that was his dad. I broadcasted games at that stadium where he ran through the wall.
Rodney McCray is an American former professional baseball player. He's best known for crashing through an outfield fence attempting... Was that Louisville? Where was that?
No, I think it was up in the Northwest, wasn't it?
I don't know. So Grant McCray's dad is a fence run through guy.
Wow, I did not know that. I did not know that. Yeah, I just, like, you know, this is something that we all talk about in our industry.
Vancouver.
Okay, then I'm wrong. It was in the Northwest.
Yeah,
but
you nailed it.
But I wasn't, I'd never been
wrong
there.
Country, that's wrong, right.
Yeah, that's okay. I have been to Vancouver, but not that stadium. I've not broadcast the games there. Anyway, unless you're talking about Vancouver, Washington. But anyway.
Maybe it was.
Okay, here's what I'm getting at. Well, something that gets talked about in our business, we always try to make sure, no matter what's going on, even if it sounds like we're arguing or disagreeing or whatever, we're always trying to make sure we're having fun, because this is supposed to be fun. And the way I look at it and the way we figure it, if we're having fun, then maybe you're having fun, because you're going to take your cues from us because we're hosting the show. And so we hope for that to be an infectious process. Well, I'm going to say the same thing to the Giants. Right now, I have no confidence in you because you have no confidence in you. I don't care if you need to fake it to make it, but I would like, and I know that Giants fans are with me, for once, for God's sakes, in the last few years, will you please swagger up to an at-bat? And just look like you think you're going to hit a line drive in the gap.
What about, to your point, them having fun?
That's a great point.
And that as fans, we would have fun.
No doubt.
Don't you love when you see the teams doing the fun stuff in the dugout or all kinds of like high fives and celebrations? I know they do the salute.
Well, what was it in Washington? They put the little Uncle Sam hat on when you hit a home run?
No, they danced in the dugout.
Well, but they didn't put the hat on.
I would say, and now we dance from Sprockets.
Really?
So as soon as they got to the dugout, whoever hit the home run had to do a dance.
But did you see them put the hat on? The three-run homer to tie the game in the ninth.
Yeah, they got that going now.
They got the
Uncle Sam hat.
Yeah.
They got the Uncle Sam hat going. But another Felipe story coming here, so I apologize. We had a meeting at Shea Stadium out of the All-Star break, and he had the whole team at the clubhouse, and Felipe never had meetings, so we're like, whoa. And he goes, you guys, we are in the entertainment business. He goes, people pay good money to watch us play the game of baseball. We're not giving them their money's worth. And he would say that. Like, we're not giving them their money's worth. We're in the entertainment business.
Good for him. He's right.
So I let off the game with a homer, and I came in the dugout. It's like, that's entertaining. I was high-fiving everybody. And I started singing, that's entertainment. But it's true. You're in the entertainment business. And you have to... We want, as Giants fans, to be entertained. We want to see those kids having fun so that we're having fun as fans. Whatever you just said about the radio show and fun, I think is a better point than the confidence thing. Because if they're having attached, fun, we're having fun.
But I think they're attached. I don't think you have a whole lot of fun when you're not confident.
Yes, you're right.
Your first day at work when you don't know anybody, you're not confident, and it's not fun. And then 3 years later, where you're like running the place, you feel a lot better. Do you want to know what comment got to me from Bob Melvin? And I don't even know if it's in this bite. I wonder if it is. On the decision to have Fitzgerald bunt in the 10th.
We're trying to get a guy over to third, you know, trying to get it down the third baseline. You know, with Lamont up next, guy's a pretty tough customer to try to string some hits together with.
That one right there. Iglesias is a pretty tough customer to string some hits together against. You're not wrong, but I don't think you can't walk into the inning thinking that way. You walk into the inning being like, well, we're probably not going to get any hits against this guy, so let's just white flag this sucker right now.
There's playing to win and playing not to lose.
The Giants players' faces look like that when they go to the plate. They look like they're about to strike out. They look like they think they're about to strike out. And then they do. They do. And I know that they're, like, Bob has made this a thing. The runner at third with less than two outs thing. How could the Giants not lack confidence in that right now?
Pat Burrell came up to me yesterday. He goes, FP, you know where I can buy some situational hitting?
What'd you say to him?
I said, I do it. It's really expensive because if you're good at it, you get paid a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So he's frustrated too, and I'm sure he's trying to talk these guys through it and get them into a game plan that works. But I just think it's such a slippery slope. The more you talk about it, the worse it gets.
Right.
Which you'd think, okay, let's talk about it. We air it out. We're figuring it out. Let's go have some good at-bats. But it's like everybody, my family's texting me like, you guys are terrible with runners in scoring position. Like, you're getting home and your wife's like, can you guys drive in and run? And so it just becomes a thing, and right now it's a thing.
Bro, last night you get runners at first and second with nobody out in the eighth. And Conforto's coming to the plate. And I'm just like, as a Giants fan, I'm sitting there and I'm going, what disaster's about to happen? I can tell you already it's coming. I was shocked he put the ball in play. And then, of course, I wished he didn't. He grounds into a double play, which, like, for the life of me, you knew was coming. And I'm agreeing with you. Don't bunt him because he doesn't know how to do it. But there's got to be something that is executed differently in those situations.
Well, and I can hear people yell in their car, like, how could a major league baseball player not know how to bunt? Because they don't practice it. It's just like any other skill. You can't ask a singles hitter to hit a home run with the game on the line in the bottom of the ninth because they don't practice hitting home runs. They can't. But like bunting, if you work at it, it's hard to bunt 98. There's a way to do it. There's a technique to do it. And you got to work on it every day. And more importantly, you got to care about it. If you don't care about it, you do your two token bunts in batting practice. You're joking around. The guy that's fielding the bunts is playing hockey goalie, and they're trying to get it through and score a goal. And, you know, you got to take pride in that. And it's part of being a baseball player. But if you've always been a three-hole hitter your whole life in the minor leagues, we had a manager, Jim Tracy, when I was in the minor leagues, told Cliff Floyd one day, who was the biggest prospect in the Expos organization, you're hitting third here, but you might hit seventh in the big league, so I'm going to ask you to bunt once in a while. Because if you're batting seventh for Felipe in Montreal, he might ask you to lay down a bunt. So when you go to Montreal and they ask if Cliff Floyd can bunt, I can say yes when they call me on the phone. And that was the biggest, that was the Bryce Harper of the organization back then. So you might not hit third in the big leagues, Cliff, so you got to know how to bunt. So Cliff Floyd, a power hitter in the minor leagues, was asked to bunt. And when he got to the big leagues, he asked to bunt, he got the bunt down. But it's not part of the game anymore.
It's not there.
It's not, this is not a Giants thing. This is a baseball thing.
FP in for dibs, 888-957-9570. You asked me a question before the show about Ayuk and Trent Williams. We'll circle right back to that. Coming up next on 95.7 The Game.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
To Willard and Dibs.
It's a great question.
That's a great question.
And that's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
So, what was the poll thing you sent me right before the show? Let me pull it up.
That's a loaded statement.
Was it Niners question? Nation?
You better be careful.
Niners Nation on Twitter. Who's more important to the 49ers in 2024, Trent Williams or Brandon Ayuk? I mean, it's not close, right? It's not even close.
It's Williams. He's one of the best players in football. He's elite. Brandon Ayuk's really good. Trent Williams is elite.
It's not just that, because one could argue that Brandon Ayuk is elite. I don't know if he's a top five receiver. He's probably a top 10, top 12. Does that count as elite?
Trent Williams is numero uno.
Yeah, but what I'd argue, whether he's number one or not, He plays a position, and the 49ers play an offense that would... Hey, YouTube and Twitch, how does FP look in his shades?
I got to get ready to go.
I wear my sunglasses inside.
I got places to be and people to see.
I heard. But anyway, the way this offense runs and the position he plays, like, that has an entire trickle-down effect on everything that you do. I don't think that the 49ers can function anywhere near at the same level without him. I don't care if they had Justin Jefferson on this team. I would argue you could function without him. You could function without him.
Which receiver would you take on that show? Receivers. Did you watch?
I watched the whole thing. And now
which
I've watched
guy,
it
if you
multiple
could have
times.
Any of them besides, obviously, Kittle and Debo don't count because we already got them.
Yeah.
Which guy would you take?
If I could have any of the other three?
Yeah.
Current age, this year,
right
all that
now,
stuff.
Tomorrow.
I think I'd take Devontae Adams.
I would too.
Situationally.
Jefferson seemed a little immature to me, even though his talent is like, oh my God, off the charts.
Yeah, I actually didn't think that he came off bad at all. I'm a huge fan of Justin Jefferson.
He looked fun.
Yeah, and I mean, he's a pup. He's supposed to act like that. I thought he acted the way he's supposed to act. I'm a huge fan of Amon-Ra St. Brown. These are phenomenal players.
He was weird. That whole thing. He came off as weird.
Well, look at his parents. Yeah. That's all.
He was raised weird, and he came off as weird.
His dad sitting everybody down to go to the NFC Championship game, and you take 12 people to dinner, and the first thing you do is pull out pictures of yourself from 30 years ago and talk about how muscular you were and the fact that people would stop talking when you walked into a room. I'm like, I don't know if I've ever seen a bigger narcissist in my entire life.
Yeah.
What a wacko.
The fact that he recites the 16 guys drafted in front of him or whatever it is every day, that's strange to me. Anyway, he's a good player.
Phenomenal player. But
Devontae's a pro.
Well, that's what I mean. Situationally, if you want to talk what would fit into the 49ers right now, sort of opposite Deebo Samuel and George Kittle, Devontae is just so seasoned and mature and a leader, and just so good. Like, so good at every aspect of receiving. Short game, long game, over the middle. Come on, man. Throws dinosaur birthday parties. Like, does it all.
Boy, didn't he just, like...
I love Devontae Adams.
He was so frustrated with Jimmy G. Like, this guy's going to get me killed. I love Devontae Adams, too. I knew nothing about him until that documentary. I like that. He's a winner. He was so frustrated he wasn't on a winner, and then nobody could help him win, and he wanted to help them win, but he wanted his touches, which is every wide receiver. He wanted to get his catch. I was a huge fan.
He's tough. He's also tough.
And then the Kittles, my goodness.
Oh, God.
His wife is like one in a million. She's amazing.
Both of them.
Does she have any friends that she can introduce me to?
It looked like she had friends. Yeah. Didn't it look like she had friends?
Yeah, I need to meet one of them.
Let's go to Chris in Modesto. Hey, Chris, what's going on?
Hey, you know, I was on hold waiting to give my take, but I got to disagree with you about the Amon-Ra. I loved his dad. I think that was a great example of a father that was totally dialed in, and his son... And so what if he showed a little pictures of his bodybuilding? Hey, I loved it. But my take is, look, both of these guys have nothing to lose. I think Trent Williams, there was rumors that he was going to retire anyway. If I was in a position, you know, first of all, you got the league, you got the, the union, and you got the individual. And the individual has to take what the union bargains. But at the end of the day, the individual wants to get what he can get, regardless of what the union can, negotiate. So if he's going to retire, if it's in his mindset to retire anyway, why not try to get that guaranteed money? You know, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't there some rumors that he was going to retire a couple of years ago?
Well, I'm glad you phrased it that way, Chris, because in my opinion... So far, you've gone a little too far with the idea that Trent was about to retire. That was a rumor. I've never heard that from Trent. Have you?
Yeah, I got him on Facebook. Anyway, the point is that, okay. You know, and then you got Ayuk over here. He's got nothing to lose because he knows he's got 1 year left on the league. So he's going to try to get the best that he can. Both of these guys have nothing to lose. This is part of the game. And the Niners know that. The executives know that. So I know that this is fodder until the league starts. And hallelujah for that day to come soon, because I'm tired of the same old topic that we're listening to. Let's go football. Go Niners. I can't wait.
All right, Chris, thank you for calling. But you have created a little bit more fodder, because as you sit here and say there's nothing to talk about, you've created more conversation, because I couldn't disagree with you more. You made the comment that both of these guys have got nothing to lose. Brandon Ayuk has everything to lose. Absolutely everything. His money, his targets, his completions, his house, his car,
his family.
That's right.
Everything.
His clothes. No, like, you, honestly here, Brandon Ayuk, I am so blown away by how the world has accepted the idea that Brandon has leverage. Weirdest thing to me all year long. The only reason he has any potential Twitter, you've been told, leverage, if he does, is because the 49ers gave it to him. Why? I have no idea. Maybe they don't think he's actually that great. Why else would they flirt with trading their leading receiver 3 weeks before the season starts? You don't do that unless they don't think very highly of him, and they don't want to have him for the next 5 years. If they want him for the next 5 years, then they get him. because he's not a free agent and he is under contract. And there is no way in hell he is sitting out the season because nobody is that harebrained.
What if he goes on receivers next year and just like, ah, ha, 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 I see why this whole thing happened.
You think he'd be invited?
I'm just saying.
Do you think he'd be invited?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe. I mentioned this last week.
The Niners like showed out big time in this year's episode.
The lovely Christie's hot take is that the receiver doc actually has had a hand in this whole thing. Because Brandon doesn't like that two other receivers got picked to be on Netflix. Oh,
that's not a bad call.
Well, like, does he seem like he's acting like he has a little bit of an inferiority complex right now? Yes or no?
Maybe.
Well,
I think more with his not guys on his team, but other receivers that have been paid.
Well,
and there's that ego thing. Well, if he got that, I'm better than he is. If he got that, I'm way better than he is. I deserve this.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, it's funny that the receiver doc, it's not just about George and Debo. I would argue that the contract, and sorry for the spoiler alert, but the contracts that get signed at the end of the doc absolutely affected these negotiations.
Maybe.
Amon-Ra and Justin Jefferson got contracts at the end of the documentary, and both of them probably moved the goalposts on Brandon Ayuk.
Amon-Ra can't dance, by the way, and he does these celebrations, and I'm like, bro, like you, those aren't good. Like, no, I can't dance either.
Very,
so
you're very turned off by Amon-Ra St. Brown.
No, somebody on the text line nailed it, on the YouTube line. He's not weird. He's just serious. And that's way more accurate than my description.
He's a different kind of a cat. And I would argue that when you, and again, Chris and Modesto seem to think that his dad did a great job. That's fine. He has raised a bunch of NFL players. Yeah. Two of the three are wide receivers in the NFL. So if that's your whole goal, great. Amon-Ra's fiance or whatever, maybe she's still a girlfriend. You could see in her commentary, dad can be a problem. Dad can be a huge problem.
All those steroids you took back in the day,
like,
dude.
I try to teach him how to be a nicer person, but sometimes it gets better, sometimes not.
Even anyway, I got to stop. I'm going to get in trouble.
Well, no, you won't. No, what are you saying?
No.
It's
no,
Amon-Ra St. Brown's dad. Who cares?
Yeah, it's just that whole thing is weird. It's just the whole dynamic.
He is different.
Something's off there.
He's a different.
I can't put a finger on
it. He's a different cat. He's a different cat.
I mean, it's going to have a list of 16 people that were ahead of me in the minor leagues, and I'm going to recite it every day.
I mean, Davante Adams over here on the sideline, Debo, George, everybody's in the locker room getting injections, and Amon-Ra's getting challenged by his own coaches. Like, dude, why are you falling down?
Wasn't his last name Brown, and they changed it to St. Brown? And then he wanted different names for the kids so that they were rememberable.
I believe that that is accurate.
Memorable.
Yeah.
Memorable. Whatever it's like. Memorable, yeah. Yes, right?
Amon-Ra, Equiminius.
And his name's like Tom.
Who's the Cooper Manning of the
Osiris.
Group? Osiris.
And the dad's name's like Tom. Tom Brown.
No,
something like
John.
John. See,
his name is John.
Thank you.
So we got Equiminius, Amon-Ra. What'd you say the other guy's
name? Great
Osiris.
Names.
Osiris.
They're all great names.
And John.
They're great names.
And they speak two languages. It's very, very fancy.
They're so serious.
Yeah. What are you doing, Granny? What are you about to do?
You're going to hear the handoff thingy coming up in just a
moment. Oh, we got a handoff thingy.
Oh, yeah.
And then you'll hear Cam Inman a little bit later.
And Cam Inman. Yeah. All right.
It's time for me to get on my bad motor scooter and ride.
I can't wait to hear about it tomorrow. What's coming up with Granny on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises. Do you want to do it again tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay, let's do it again tomorrow. For FP, for Granny, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. That's all you got.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!